Hey guys, and welcome to the first episode of KZPT Audio for 2021. I hope you all had a relaxing break. I know I certainly did, and hoping we're ready to absolutely crush 2021 and achieve a post-lockdown body that we're all proud of. If you have always been curious about physique sports and competitive bodybuilding, or when you see someone compete and you're not quite sure how they pick a winner or what the judges are actually looking for in each division, then this is 100% the podcast for you. Vicky Arif has spent the last 20 years on the judging panel of multiple bodybuilding federations and worked with thousands of competitors to bring their best physique to the stage. We're going to talk about each division and what the judges are looking for. We're going to talk about the physique itself and how to make it look as presentable as possible to showcase your hard work. And I think straight away, you're going to be able to tell just how passionate Vicky is about beautiful bodies. If you're thinking about competing in 2021, then this is beyond a must listen, as there is a big chance if you're competing in Melbourne, Vicky will be on that judging panel critiquing your physique, and this is an easy way to find out what the panel is actually looking for. If you have a friend that is competing this year, I would love for you to share this podcast with them. There is so much in this interview that does not get spoken about on any other platform, and I can help them avoid a lot of first-timers' mistakes. So grab your headphones, get on your walk, and enjoy this episode of KZPT Audio. All right, welcome to the first episode of KZPT Audio of the Year. And today is a super special guest, someone who I've worked with personally, someone who thousands of Australians have worked with personally. We have Vicky Arif, the head judge of ICN, a previous physique competitor, and someone who just seems to have an absolute love of the sport of bodybuilding and just making people feel really confident in their own bodies and just about, you know, loving themselves and showing people how to show and present their best body. And I think today really what I want to go through is essentially for anyone who wants to be competing in 2021 in any category, in any federation, some of the main tips that's going to really help people just excel. And because it's a long, long journey, and it's such a shame when you go up there and you are lean, you've put in the hard work, but you don't necessarily know how to show the best parts and how to hide the worst parts. You know, it's such a big part of the game, and I'm super happy to have Vicky here to tell us all about it. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you, Carl. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm quite honoured that you've even asked me to do this. So, yes, I haven't done quite this thing before. I did something with Carl Lanciano, DeFelco, his name is, that's right, I've got to get that right. First name's right, though, same as yours, spelled the same way as well. But yeah, we did like a bit of an interview thing, but this is a little bit different. So I hope I get it all right, and people can understand where I'm coming from, and it makes their journey to the stage a little bit easier by understanding A, what we look for, and the process of getting from A to B. So that's great.
Yeah, I think it's so important, because I think from the outside, for people who haven't spent as much time inside the industry, a lot of the competitors can kind of look the same. We have a lot of comments from people who have never sort of seen a show before, and they come in and they look and they're sort of like, they have no idea who's going to win. And I think this is going to be such a great way to break that down and actually tell people, here's what we're looking for. So when you go and watch your friends, and when you go and watch, you know, your partner and all of that stuff get up there, you know within yourself when you're watching how to actually determine what's going up on there. So I'm super excited. Why don't you start by giving us a little bit more info about yourself and your backstory? So you were a previous competitor. Give us a little bit of a rundown on how that went for you.
Yes, well, all of my life, actually, Carl, I've been teaching people something. I taught ballet, and I was a dancer from a very early age, and I went right through with classical ballet and then got into contemporary dance and musical theatre. So getting into the fitness industry wasn't until after I actually had my son Cameron, and I think I joined a gym when in the 1990s. I'd put on some weight. So my whole life from the year dot, it's virtually been dancing, movement, creating, choreographing. So it's a very, very long history. I have with movement and teaching people. So all ages, I've taught from little kids up to adults. And at the moment, I'm currently teaching people in their 90s because I teach rehab as well. So it has been a very, very long career. I love people and I love seeing people achieve their goals. That's really something that's really, really important for me to sit back and go, wow, look at them now, look where they were, look, you know, what they're up on stage now looking like this. So they've put in the hard work. But I originally didn't join a gym to compete. I just wanted to get fit and loved doing all the aerobic stuff because it had music and movement. So I qualified to become an aerobic instructor, and then I qualified to be a circuit instructor, as you do. Then I did the qualification to become a gym instructor and PT. So it all sort of went hand in hand. And one day someone said to me, you know, why don't you compete? And I said, what as? And they said, you should go and watch a show. And I said, oh, all right, what sort of show is this? You know, I knew of bodybuilding, but I wasn't really into it. I hadn't really had a great deal of association with it. So I tootled off to see a show at the Camberwell Civic Centre. And unbeknownst to me, there's different federations. There's naturals, there's non-naturals, there's people that are going to be super huge because they've, you know, taken certain things that makes them grow bigger. And I remember sitting there and they were calling out to this lady to come out on stage and they're saying, go Godzilla. I'm thinking, wow, Godzilla, you know. When this lady came out, yes, she was Godzilla. She was massive. And I'm thinking, oh, I can't do this. She was huge. I had very powerful legs because I'd been a dancer and I needed to work on the upper body. So, look, to cut a very, very long story short, I met up with a trainer who was going out with an old girlfriend of mine. His name was Terry Martinez. And Terry Martinez was hosting the show. And he then became my trainer as such as he gave me all the dietary guidance and what have you. And I think I started off around about 85, 90 kilos. And then by 1997, I'd walked on stage and I was 54 kilos. Wow. So I had to go through the big process of getting a lot of weight down and understanding my body and how my body reacted to a weight training and also the dietary requirements that I needed to sort of eat and retrain my way of thinking about diet, because as a dancer, we did all the wrong things. So it was a real education for me. And I thought, wow, this fitness industry has got something I want to learn from. So I was then just like a sponge and wanted to learn as much as I possibly could. We didn't have posing coaches. I remember him saying to me, now do a front bicep. I said, what's that? You've got to show me. Like, is it like ballet fifth position? What is it? So I then studied up on posing and that. And then I thought, well, that's all great to stand there and do these poses, but how do you get there? How do you get from standing still into showing your body? So that's how it all started. I'm sort of very interested on how you do things and why you do things and what you're showing at the same time. So, look, it's different as far as like being a dancer and you create movement and alignment with people's bodies to perform. But this is standing still, showing what you've created by using weights and dietary, you know, dietary plans. So it's a little bit different, but I like the way it worked and I like the way that my body changed in doing that. So yeah, it's been a very long time and it sort of just went from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other. And, you know, I met Craig Lucas at a gym I was working at in Wantirna, where I was managing, and we ended up being really good friends. We ran our own bodybuilding show. We had our own gym. We also had the Hardcore. Craig was the editor of the Hardcore Aussie Muscle magazine. So within the industry, I've done just about everything you can possibly do in my 30 years.
You really have. That is incredible. Especially, you know, I think we even back in the Have you ever watched Generation Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger and everyone?
Yes, yes.
And I have. So you see them doing the ballet to actually to improve their posing and to improve their physiques. How much of that, how much of the dancing and the choreographing and everything like that has transferred over into the posing side of things?
When I'm teaching posing, Carl, I feel like I'm teaching ballet almost.
Yeah,
because
right.
It's all about aligning the body properly. It's all about, even though you're just showing a shape with the body, you have to position the shoulders, the arms, the legs, the feet. It all comes from the feet. You can't teach posing unless you get the feet right first. You can't be a good poser unless you get the posture right. You can't just walk on with the everyday slumped posture where you're sitting in a chair and put your arms up and hope to God it's going to work. Yeah, exactly. You can do that now. It's all that. You have to stand a certain way to show yourself off. Any sport that you undertake has got a certain posture. That you know, if you're a gymnast, if you're an ice skater, if you're a dancer, if you're a golfer, there's all certain stances and positions that you need to put your body in before you can actually execute that skill. Even though I look at like bodybuilding, that it's not so much a skill, it's an art form when it comes to presenting yourself. Most people can lift weights. Most people, a lot of people that don't dance, that don't have rhythm, join a gym. There's a reason for it, because they don't understand music. That's exactly
it. I have two left feet, don't you believe it?
Exactly. But when you're doing things that's got repetitions and you don't have to keep in time with the music and you don't have to get out a certain amount in a certain phrase of music, it's a lot easier for people. So when you start, just as I did, I saw my body changing. I had lower half, but I needed to build my upper body. So, you know, when I saw how the weight training and the food changed the way I look, I thought there's really something to this. And that's what made me thirsty for more and wanting to learn more and more and more. So, yeah, the ballet, when someone comes in, I always check their posture first. I look at how they stand. I look for imbalances. I look for one shoulder higher than the other. Most people have got one trap higher than the other. They've got an imbalance through their scapula. They'll have one bicep that peaks more than the other. They'll have one calf smaller than the other. And you can only pick these things out through experience and by having a really good eye for detail. Mm-hmm. Have it being a ballet teacher, you have to, because that line has to be perfect. Those feet have to be perfectly turned out. And I remember years ago, my ballet teacher, when I was, I think, about 10, I said, can we go and audition? And she said, no, because you're not perfect yet. And I thought, wow. Okay. And I've sort of held on to that all my life. Make everything perfect. Yeah. It's not what you do. It's how you do it. So when it comes to presenting one's physique on stage, anyone can get up there and have a look at a couple of poses or go to someone that shows them. But without actually understanding what body part you need to move in order to get there to present it best is another story. And that's what people don't get. They visualize, oh, yeah, I'm doing that. No, you're not. It's not exactly as it should be because nothing aligns. So when you're judging, you're looking at alignment. So it is very much like creating shapes with ballet and dance, and that's how I treat it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I really like that analogy of, you know, like it's about creating shapes and it's about making sure that everything is, you know, symmetrical. So before we go into, because I definitely want to talk more to the judging side as well and learn more about visions. But before we go there, give me a little rundown. So let's look at the front relaxed pose. Let's just look at the one where you're just standing straight ahead. You're just trying to show basically the front of your body at the best that it can. What are some of the cues, I guess, for people on stage and off stage, you know, because obviously it's not just about getting up on stage and showing this. I really preach this when we take transformation photos, and I tell people, you want to have your best pose in your before photos and your after photos. You shouldn't have one photo where you just, or, you know, down and looking and, you know, pushing out your gut, and then the next one trying to stand up nice and tall. You should really try and keep it consistent, because that's what's going to show, you know, exactly how much hard work you've been putting in. So when we're looking at a normal front relaxed pose standing there by your side, what are some little tips that to actually show that off the absolute best?
Okay, so the front pose is probably the hardest, most revealing pose of any pose at all, because it's looking at you from head to toe, front on No twisting, no turning, no nothing. So
very hard to flex in that position.
It is. So, and this is the mistake a lot of people make. They try to start posing and they put their feet there and they look there and they flex. They don't actually look at how they're making each muscle group flow together. So if you contract a muscle or tense a muscle, it shortens that muscle. So it closes up and shortens it. So you look all hunched up because you haven't elongated. You need to open out. You need to open out. You can't get your back width to come out by lifting your elbows any higher. Because they're limbs, they're not, they don't control your back and your body. Your torso is the actual center of your posture. That's its origin. The arms and the legs, they're just bits stuck on the outsides. So if you don't work with the origin first and determine where the shoulders has to be, where the chest has to lift, how the upper body's got to lift from the hips, so you're elongating and lengthening up, everything's just going to squish down because of gravity. So you need to lift up and lengthen and elongate your torso, not by hunching your shoulders up, but you've got to be taught how to be able to open your back out without using a weight. Now, people can open their backs out when they're doing a seated row. So if you put in your mind sitting there and you grab a seated row in a neutral grip and you pull it toward you, right? You pull it toward you. So you squeeze the scapula in. So you retract the scapula. Now, when you release forward, you're actually doing protraction. So you're opening the back out. Yes. So if you feel that, that's opening your lats out. You don't need your arms to help you do that. You do if you're using a weight. But if you do it, you should be able to do it without using a weight. And that means you're isolating that area that when you come to standing on stage, you can just do it without any problem at all because it's a mind-to-muscle connection. Most people don't do that. They rely on their arms. They pull in and out. They don't really think, okay, I'm bringing the back in toward the center of the spine, then I'm opening out again. I'm coming in, I'm going out. They don't look at it that way. It's just pull it in like that. That's all they do. And that's the same with lat pull down. They pull it down and they use their shoulders and their traps and they're all hunched up. There's no scapular retraction before they start the movement. And it's all just using arms and, oh, look at the weight I'm pulling. It doesn't matter what weight you pull. How are you doing the exercise? Yeah. Where are you pulling from? Where are you actually feeling that? But because everybody's in such a big rush these days that they've got to get on stage in 10 minutes, not many people want to put the time in to actually understand where they have to help their body to grow from what area to the, I want to be wide, so I'll do wide grip. Well, how's that going to make you wider? Don't you need to build the muscle in the center of your back to push the lats out? They've got to attach to something. So you just, what are you going to attach to? You've got no muscle in the middle. It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, this is, a lot of this is about being sensible and common sense if you understand the exercise. And this is where the fall down is. It's not just about getting up on stage and posing. Have you built the physique that's able, that you've got something to show? You've got, if you've got a hollowed out back, and I get a lot of these people, there's nothing in the center. They've got massive arms because everything's
shoulders and traps, all that top exactly. Line of shoulders is just amazing. And then from the bottom, from the midway
that's
down,
right. Yeah,
there's not a lot.
So that then is an unbalanced physique to me. So it doesn't flow. So when you're standing front on, if you don't set your feet in the correct position so that you've got, you're showing like a nice quad flare, and there's certain ways to put your legs to make them look better than the other. If you have your feet parallel, your legs are going to look dead straight. If you've got toes and heels together, that's a nothing pose. You need to turn them out. And everybody's different. How far do we turn them out? That's where you need to go to somebody that understands how much is too much, how much is not enough. So you understand. And then you look in the mirror and you see, and then what do I need to tense? We don't need to tense anything yet because we've just started at the feet. So the feet, the knees, the hips. So you go from the ground up. Now, when you get to the torso, the first thing that most people will do that come along for me is they'll lift the arms up. They don't do anything with their body. There you go. How much of your lats showing there, Carl?
None. I can feel them. There's nothing underneath.
That's it. But that's what everybody does because that's what it looks like to them because they've gone to somebody that's also got no idea. And they don't know that just because this person may have a title doesn't necessarily mean that they can teach you.
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of the fall down in the posing, it gets good and then it goes bad again because people assume that this is what you do. It's not. It's a much bigger science than that.
And not only that, we, you know, when you look at anything at that sort of level, when you're going to not even pros, but just actually stepping up on stage,
yeah,
very easy to look at it from the spectator's position and gather your own opinions on what's going on up there.
Yeah.
And what you're thinking about when you just stand there and you're flexing, you know, what you're actually thinking about when you're flexing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, especially with one like a rear lat spread, like that one always gets me because it feels so unnatural what you're doing and it feels like you're doing something completely opposite to what's showing because you're thinking about what's happening on the front, but everyone's looking at what's happening at the back.
Yes.
You know, and so it's, you know, you can sometimes look at it and you think something, but it's not quite the case when you look deeper in.
Yeah, and that's what I mean too. This is, as we know, Carl, the sport of genetics. Mm. If you're blessed with genetics and skeletal shape, that's really great. You're halfway there. It's what you pack on top of your bones and build your muscles is what's going to display your body as best you possibly can. So that front symmetry pose, you want to see broad shoulders. You want to see arms that flow and come down to the side. You want to see that they're the same length. I have people with one arm longer than the other. They don't know that until I point it out.
And so real quickly off, would that be something that would potentially be marked down in an actual competition if it was very noticeable?
If it was noticeable, but I would notice it and fix it up. If that person comes to me, and this is what I get, I have lots of people that come that have had maybe polio in their legs or something like that. You've got to know and understand where to place that person's foot so that you don't see that bottom half of, say, the left leg is deteriorated from the right. So you put them in a position to cover that. Mm-hmm. That's what you said about playing to strengths, playing down weaknesses. We've all got structural flaws. And this was part of the judging criteria. I did a judging course back in 1996 and they don't run them anymore. And this is part of it is a structural flaw. So, you know, if there's somebody, two people standing together and they're both fairly identical and maybe one has got one, you know, wonky leg, whether it's a concave quadricep or something like that, well, then the other person is going to place higher because of that structural flaw, if it's noticeable. And this is where it's only through experience and watching and judging so much that you get to see things like this and working with people that have these imbalances that come to me for posing, I pick them straight away. They don't know that they've got them half the time. And I think some people get upset if I point them out. I said, but we can fix that as far as, you know, displaying your body. And that's where often my son comes in handy because I'm saying this person struggled here. Okay, yeah, okay, can't get the lats out because he's weak through the serratus. So Cam will prescribe some exercises to help this person activate the serratus. Because if you put your hand there, you need to have some strength through that part of your body to flare your lats out.
Yeah, you do have a nice little duo going on there.
Yes, mate. We got it all together. Yes, we could, because this is what I mean by he's doing, you know, third year physiotherapy. I'm doing this. Okay, this person's got this problem I haven't come across before. What are we going to do about it? And we talk about it and discuss it and we work out what we need to do because Cam's big on mobility. That's where it comes together. Yeah. So not many people know that I do this or do that or go to the lengths that I do to try and help people look good. Because if you don't have that basic X factor, the broad shoulders, the tiny waist, yep, the flare through the quads, the calves, all that, if you don't have that, you need to be able to learn how to give the illusion that you have. Because bodybuilding posing is an illusion.
Agreed.
Creating the illusion that you're better than you actually are. So if you don't learn from the start to hold yourself properly, when I'm teaching a male, say, bodybuilding, I say that front relaxed pose, you do that before every single pose. Don't drop it. You keep that the whole time you're on stage. Even when you're doing side chest and tricep and all that stuff, you start off with your lats flared. Why do you shrink down and you know, slouch over to do a chest? Then you look all hunched over. You keep the shape. So if you maintain that, it becomes just like a home base. You maintain that through every pose. All of your poses will look good. Then it's just a matter of adjusting shoulders, lifting, twisting, doing all that sort of thing, you know, keeping it together. Once you've got the actual shape of the pose, then you can tense. Yeah. But how can you tense getting into it? Because you've tightened all your muscles. You can't move. Do you know what I mean? Because it's all tight.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, the funny thing about it is... I remember the first time I came and saw you and we went through our posing, and I sweat harder during that 1 hour with you just standing there and holding one particular pose than I did in the 40-minute workout that I did beforehand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, yeah. You know, it's harder than it looks, and as though we call it front relaxed, it's very far from, because there's about a million things going through your mind when you're there. You know, you're even thinking about what you're doing with your toes. You're thinking
from
the calves to the knees to the hips to the abs to the lats to the shoulders to the traps, and it just goes all the way up, and you have to do it in some sort of succession, you know, and you have to think about the flow of everything, and it's...
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's almost just as neuro-taxing than anything, you know, trying to remember everything all after that. But it's really good to hear that from you. So it's going to be a really good segue into actually talking about what are the differences between some of these different categories, and what, you know, what are judges actually looking for? So let's have a look at, say... because I think the females I want to go really deep on. So I want to have a quick talk about open bodybuilding versus classic physique. And this is probably a little bit more of a selfish one as well, because, you know, I'm, especially after my last show, I'm feeling a little in the middle there. So why don't you give us a little more clarity on what are the main differences you're looking for when, especially, it's a little bit more obvious in obviously enhanced sports, and we're talking IFBB and things like that. But in a natural competitive state, because I've actually seen, I was looking at one show, I can't remember when it was, but there was a guy who entered classic physique and he was massive. Like, he had an incredible physique and probably one of the biggest guys on stage, but did not win. And I'm assuming because he did not have the classic physique. So why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Okay, we can do about that, of course. Well, the bodybuilding, when you say bodybuilding, so if you're looking at a bodybuilder, they've got that very, very thick muscle. They're thick muscles, they're mature muscles. They just haven't got little bumps on them. They've been trained for years, those guys. So they've got that very dense muscle, very thick chest, very powerful. Now, some of these guys may be a little bit thick through the waist. All right, now, if they're very thick through the waist, they're not going to be classed as what's classic, all right? So a classic guy in natural, you don't always get them with massive muscles as natural athletes, because we haven't long been doing this, the classic one. Uh-huh. You still have to have a balanced physique all over. You still have to have quads and hammies and calves and shoulders. You still have, but you have a smaller taper going into the waistline. You don't have massive obliques. Massive obliques can thicken your waistline and make you look what's called blocky, and that's in bodybuilding. So the whole muscle density all over that guy's body is thicker than what would be in the classic physique. And that's the same as in any federation. That's what they should be looking at. So if you're looking at the bodybuilder, just say you look at someone, if this is just going back, someone like Franco Colombo, like he and the gentleman that I can't remember his name at the moment, but they're very thick through the waist. Then you look at somebody like Bob Paris or Frank Zane. That to me is a classic look, because they've got the broad shoulders and they've got the taper. They're not overly big and blocky and chunky. So it's all about, for me, the classic is still having the muscle, but it's having width. And it's having that small waist. The small waist is the, you have a look at someone like years ago, Brian Buchanan. He's got a tiny, tiny waist. If you have a look at him compared to Samir Banoot or those guys, they're a bit chunky. They've still got beautiful physiques and they still do what's called classic poses, but it's not a classic physique as such.
Yeah.
It's the longer, you know, like Frank Zane sort of look. Do you understand what I mean? By the waist is usually for me what gives it away, what's classy, whether you've still got to have muscle because it's bodybuilding. You've got to have muscle. Sorry, absolutely. You've got to have muscle. You can't just have shape with nothing on it.
And I think that
you can't just have a frame.
Yeah, I think people that think almost every division up there, you know, like if you're looking to compete in a physique sport, you know, what we're looking for is that muscle. You know, we're looking for how thick and how dense we can create.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're going to get those guys that are possibly a little bit more mature than the younger guys that have got that dense muscle because they've been training longer. That's why a lot more of the ladies that are doing figure are older because they've been training for a long time. The young girls struggle to get their conditioning unless they're just genetically like a racehorse and they can eat anything, but they will struggle also to build thick muscle. They'll look like they've just been in a dieting contest and just be too lean and then there's no muscle left. But this is what I mean, that the older ladies seem to be able to build muscle and get leaner a lot better than the younger girls. That's why a lot of the younger girls like to do all the model categories, and that's why they've been brought in. Yeah. But for the physique, getting back to the bodybuilding and that, you need to have all those things, that shape. And I'm not saying you have to have a blocky waist for bodybuilding, but the size of the muscle bellies are going to be big.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be big. They're going to be big all over. You can't just have, you know, big biceps and no calves. It still needs to be balanced and look aesthetic in all different positions and all different poses, especially from the back. You've got to still have that taper. Backs vary a lot too. You'll get people that have got a lot of development in their lower lats, and then you get some that have got nothing. Then you get people that have got a lot of detail through the bottom of their lower back and then nothing at the top. Mm-hmm. Then you have sort of the delt. You might get a good rear delt, and then the other side of the body hasn't got much at all. So these are things that you see when you're doing the poses. But all in all, it's that X factor taper is virtually almost throughout every category is the shape. And that all comes from training, genetics, all that sort of thing. It's not for everybody, but it doesn't mean that everybody can't have a go. I never had the perfect shape. My symmetry was way out. I had way overdeveloped legs and an upper body that was really struggling to catch up. It was never going to happen. Short torso, long legs, you've got to recognize your faults. And you've got to be able to say, well, this is the best I could do with what I have. And that's, you can't be somebody else and have, oh, I want to look like her. Well, you know, the chances are you probably won't.
And because look, I think as well, sometimes it's about actually just putting yourself out there to see.
Yeah.
It's like you never, you know, if you don't actually decide to go for your competition, you know, and you just keep waiting for the perfect moment or when you're big enough, right? Then you don't come and see someone like you. You don't go and get that coach that can get you to the next level. You know, you don't put that effort into training like you do when you're on a contest prep.
That's right.
You know, so you never actually, if you keep waiting for the perfect moment, I don't think it ever actually comes.
No, it won't eventuate. Yeah. People just keep, oh, I'll do it next year. I just want to get bigger here. I just want to get bigger here. And you hear this all the time. And that's a boy thing.
Yeah.
The girls don't. The girls just want to get up there in 10 minutes. They want to do 6 weeks of training. Anyway, here we go. I'm a fitness model. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be awful. But that's the reality of it. The guys are more patient and will put in the hard work a lot longer than a younger female. And this is just my observation of being in the industry. Yeah. People that do figure, and I had to do figure because they didn't have sports model and bikini model and all that sort of stuff back in my day. It was figure or bodybuilding. That was all we had to choose from.
Right.
And over the years, like figure built up there for a time, a lot of people doing it, but it's dropped right off again. So it all changes. Bodybuilding, the same thing. In some of the smaller shows, we can only have 4 people in a lineup. Yep. We used to get 12 and we have to do classes. It chops and changes. And through this COVID thing, God only knows what's going to turn up this year.
I am very excited to see what sort of physiques we're looking at. I'll be completely honest, in the Bendigo one that was run not too long ago, late last year, it looked like there was a fair few, really, for having a COVID body, was actually quite decent physiques.
Yes, it was quite a good standard that we had. I think that the gentleman that won the classic, I think he came from Tasmania. Mm-hmm. I think really very complete body, presented really well. We had some good ones here. The guys, some of the girls were really strong, some weren't. But like you said, it's about putting yourself up there and see where you fit in. And where does my body fit in? Some bodies are always going to struggle. You can a lot of people compete 4 or 5 times before they ever win. A lot of people want to win the first time. You don't always, because you don't know who you're going to line up against. Mm-hmm. If you've made improvements from your last competition, you know, and you get up and you're not satisfied with where you placed this time, you go, oh, I'm so much better than last time. But the people you were standing up against last time aren't the same as this time. This time it's a higher standard, and people get very disappointed and blame everybody else for why they didn't win this time, because they're better than last time because their neighbor told them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is, your friends are always going to tell you, mate, you're going to smash it. You're going to kill it. What do they know? They're your friends. Of course they're going to support you.
And they have no idea, like you said.
They have no idea who's going to. I don't know, have no idea until I sit down on that table and I look and people start coming out, who's going to be in that lineup? Because there's always one or two that come out of the woodwork that you've never seen or heard of before, and they blow everybody away.
Agreed.
So I would never say to anybody, oh, yeah, you're going to win it. Never. Yes, you will do well, because from where you are now and looking at you, this is just one person. When they ask you when you're by yourself, one person. I said, I've got no one to compare you to. I don't know how you're going to go. I don't have a crystal ball, but all you can do is do what your coach tells you to do, and don't start asking 5,000 other people what they do and get yourself totally confused. If you're paying for one person to do your comp prep, stay with them. Yeah. Follow it through to the end. If you're not happy on the day, then find somebody else. That's
absolutely
what it is.
Right. I completely agree with that. And because it can be, especially in the emotional turmoil of comp prep, you know, in those last 8, 12, whatever weeks, your mind plays some dirty tricks on you while you're leaning down, and it's very easy to start to, you feel all sorts of things. You feel really good one day, you feel really flat the next, you feel like it's all not working, you feel like you looked better last time, and it just goes like this all the way through, and you're always looking for that that sense of someone telling you that it's okay. You know, you're just looking for anyone to tell you that you're looking good.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's dangerous, very dangerous. You know, I think you have to be, you know, if my second show taught me anything, it was that you have to do it like for you and you only. You're doing it up there and you're versing a lot of incredible people and people that are putting in the exact same amount of work as you. And, you know, and sometimes even more work, and sometimes have been doing it for years. You know, a lot of the Olympia guys and a lot of the pros, you know, they don't reach their peak until their late 30s, early 40s.
That's right.
You know, and so for anyone that's under 30 years old, you know, you can't go in with the expectation of even not just winning, but doing well. You know, it's about you learning about your body. It's about learning about how you actually handle yourself going into a 20-week, 30-week prep. It's about knowing how you handle yourself on stage through those sort of stresses. And then actually seeing, like, you know, waiting to do your first show, you don't know what your tan looks like. You don't know what your actual poses look like from the back until you get those photos and you blow them up and you see them. And then you're like, wow, is that really what I looked like? And, you know, you have to go through them, and there should be some sense of disappointment. You know, there should be a sense in yourself where you want to do better next time.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, I think we see a lot now and of people who, I guess, get very disheartened and, you know, take it in a very weird, defeating way, and I really hope that changes in the coming years, especially with how big it's sort of coming now with the amount of divisions we're adding and everything.
Yes, well, you know, that's sort of the way it is. It's because people don't really understand. And like I said, they don't research or go and find out how things are judged and why they're judged a certain way. You know, that, and this is where they get disappointed, because everyone, like you said, has been telling them how great they are and all the rest. And it's good. They may look so much better than last time. They may, but that's why we have the transformation thing. But you still may not be able to stand up in a lineup of people and call yourself a bikini model or a fitness model, because you haven't made enough change to your body. You may never make enough change to your body, because maybe your body's just not suited to this sport.
Yeah.
And they're the real facts. And it's a sad thing to say. Yeah. You know, I knew with myself that there was no way I was going to go anywhere. So that's why I opted out. Because, I mean, you can't change a skeletal shape. This is what I've got. It's not going to happen. So I'm too old now. Let's get into the teaching. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that everyone should do that, but you put yourself through the process.
You're exactly right. And look, this, you know, there's a little saying that I like, and it's, you know, I love basketball, but I could train for the next 30 years and I will not be LeBron.
That's right.
Right? Exactly. It's just not going to happen, because they don't have that natural talent. You know, I can work hard and I can become very, very good at what I do.
Yes.
But can I become the best? Can I become that LeBron James of bodybuilding? Probably not. You know, it's about looking at your body and being realistic with yourself. And, you know, like you said, but at the same time, you know, it's about playing to your strengths, you know, and doing it for yourself.
Yeah, doing it for you as a personal goal and achievement. And if you like competing and you're happy just to come along second, third, whatever, for a few years, and then all of a sudden you win one, then so be it, because you just don't know where it's going to stop and where it's going to start again.
Yeah.
You know, it is about learn yourself, but I think social media also being a very good thing can also be a very negative thing for a lot of people with the mind games, because everyone compares themselves to somebody else.
Oh, Vicky, the first thing that I did in both competitions, when they send out the participant list on who's actually you're going to be stepping on stage with, the first thing I do is look them up on Instagram and start stalking them and seeing what they look like and start pairing up. And that's like 3 weeks out, and it plays some weird games in the head.
It does. See, back in my day, we didn't have that. You didn't know who's going to rock up.
You just rock up.
And it was better. I just went along, oh, here we go. What'll do? I do this and I do that. She's got that color bikini and I'm doing this. Oh, that's her routine. Okay, here comes mine. You know, didn't faze me one bit. Yeah. All I did that I knew that I had done the best I possibly could to get myself into that shape, and I was going to go out there and have fun, and I did.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about me, and I liked the personal challenge, because being a dancer, you always strive for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me was, you had to now get the thing about the training and the dietary and all the other stuff all had to sort of come into one. So, like I said, you're being judged in bodybuilding and in a show, you're being judged on how you look. You're not being judged like how you got there. You're not being judged on your skill. You're not being judged how you move and all that.
You know, it's on that day, in that moment.
That's it. It's the how you look on the day. And this is what I say with the judges. It's how the people that turn up on the day, they line up in front of you. And a lot of the time, as soon as they turn to the front, being in bodybuilding, I know straight away who's got a pretty good chance by the way they stand. Mm-hmm. So they've educated themselves on how to present their body from that front on pose, because that front on pose is the hardest pose and you're in it nearly all the time.
Yep.
So then that comes the quarter turns, and then comes the variations of the arm 9 foot in the air and all this sort of thing, because they've watched how the pros do it. If you don't have a pro body, don't pose like one, because you're going to look silly.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time they do, because you know, if you've
what you're watching day in, day out, you know, that's what's televised, that all, you know, yeah, that's what's
that's
available.
All they see. That's all they see. And because a lot of them don't want to come and have posing lessons, because they can get it by watching. You can't learn it by watching. You can copy and imitate. Mm-hmm. But if you've got legs that are a little bit on the small side and you go and watch it, say a big IFBB comp, and you're watching the pros and they're doing their quarter turns and then they've got their knees locked out as they turn, have a look how your legs will look locked out side on, mm-hmm. as opposed to being bent.
Yeah.
Because the chances are your legs aren't that big. You're going to make them look skinny as by locking the knee joint out. And that's what I say to some of the guys. don't pose like a pro unless you are one. You don't have the same shape body, don't have the same amount of bulk and muscle. So you need to go to someone that's going to be able to make your body look the best it possibly can against whoever lines up on the day. And the person who lines up on the day, who's got the best shape, the best muscularity, who brings the best condition, who presents themselves really well, is probably going to place really, really high. If you don't bring all those things, you can only judge what's in front of you. There might be one person that stands out. The rest might be shit. They just might be terrible. This one's got no legs. This one's got no shoulders. This one's got no back. There might be only one person. We have to win. But then it gets harder when you've got a lineup of really good guys. How are we going to choose a winner out of this?
Then it goes into the minute detail.
Yes, then you start looking and you start picking and you go, okay, this here, this there, and that's what you do. Okay, one bicep's bigger than the other. This chest, let's turn him on the other side and see if he's got the same chest development on the other side is what he's been showing. Bit flat there, not much in the tricep. Do you know what I mean? That's when you start nitpicking like that. But the best person that brings the best package on the day of the show in front of us is probably going to win.
I think I might know this one, but I'm going to ask anyway. Is there any story that stands out as one of the hardest shows to pick the winner?
One of the hardest shows?
To pick the winner.
Look, it's always going to be hard because we have a panel of judges. It's not just me.
Of course.
And it's not just the other people. It's we all have to agree. To a point. Now, there might be something, okay, one, here's an incident. When I first started in the industry, I judged for IFBB, because I judged for IFBB for nearly 10 years. It was at Dallas Books Hall, and I think novice men or open men came out, and there was about four competitors on stage, and there was a massive guy there. Now, this guy had long legs, a shortish torso, but he was humongous. He was huge. Mm-hmm. He had good muscle. Nothing fitted together for me. It was like he was a blob and he had an arm stuck on him, but his body didn't flow. Now, there was a smaller guy that flowed beautifully. Symmetry was great. Didn't have as big a muscle, but everything was balanced.
Lines and things like that.
Exactly. Now, I went for that because the other guy, to me, looked all over the place. He was messy. I wouldn't choose that body because potentially to go up against someone in say, an open or a world title, he'd be wiped. But this other person has the potential in years to come because he's got that shape to start with. So this other person, so I chose the guy that had the better shape, complete muscle and all the rest of it. And I was questioned at the end by the promoter why, and I explained why I chose that way. And he goes, that's fine. That's your opinion. And that's great. He said, I'm glad you could justify why you chose that guy because everybody else chose the big dude, but I didn't.
Yeah, right.
So there you go. It's what we prefer, what you prefer. It didn't matter to me that I didn't agree with everybody because I put the other dude second and I put, this is what I personally like. And that's all it is. The judging is very subjective. What do you like personally on the line? So, yes, he had shape. He had symmetry. He was balanced. He posed well. The other dude was a mess. But because he had the crowd behind him and everyone yelling, I'm not going with
that
the crowd.
That wow
sorry.
Factor as well. Sometimes yeah, those guys just come out and you're just like, holy crap.
I know, but that's all he was big. There was nothing nice about it. It was almost like it was like it was you'd made him with plasticine, you know. It just for me, it wasn't appealing. And yep. I look at it, is this an achievable goal for people? Well, probably not. Yep. And that's what I've always thought, that the people that you want to look up to in that, is that goal, is it achievable for a natural athlete to look like that? No, it's not. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, there's all people like different things for different reasons. I don't like the way a lot of the bodybuilding is going at the moment with the massive big stomachs. I'm not a fan of that. I've lost a lot of love for that. And also the symmetry side of thing. Why is it the girls, they just got to have glutes and nothing else? That's unsymmetrical to me. I'm not a fan of that. I don't agree that you just have to have massive glutes. Why aren't we balancing the body out? But that's someone else's idea. It's not my idea. I don't like it.
It's a bit
that's
like,
just me. That
Yeah, it's like a collect, you know, when you have, because there's a lot of judges on the panel, you know.
That's right.
How many is there, around 10 usually?
There's probably about seven. We have main judges that do a lot of the placings, and then we have probably four or five other judges in ICN that do the critiquing.
Yes.
So everybody gets allotted a certain person, but the main ones in that, we all have to agree on that. And if we don't agree, depending on who's judging at the time, because if Andrew's there, Andrew will do head judging. If it's a female show or some of the country shows, I do the head judging. Yes. So we've all got to agree. And there's been times where Andrew and maybe two of the other three others have agreed on it, and I haven't. I've had that person in second. That's okay.
Yep.
I don't mind that. But I will always say, well, okay, just give me a reason why. And then if I can't see that, I will point out why I think this person is. And, you know, we're able at ICN to do that and discuss why we see different things, because we're all at different levels. I'm probably the oldest person left in the industry doing this. And then, you know, Andrew's got a really good eye for that. We judge very similar. And then there's other people. Do you know what I mean? So they've got to learn. When you're learning something, you need to learn from experience.
Yeah.
You can't just sit back and expect to know everything. And the criteria that one federation has for a particular category isn't always the same as the next one.
And I don't understand either why people get weird about something like that, because, you know what you're going into in a bodybuilding sport. You are being judged on one thing, and that's your body. You know, you're being judged on that and only that. And so, you know, when you have an array of judges and you have a lot of people's, you know, personal opinions, you know, looking at the same people, you know, it's of course there's going to be, you know, not even controversy, but there's going to be disagreement on exactly where it's going to be. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, the judges within themselves and then the critique that, you know, the competitors get, it's shaping the bodies that we're looking for years to come.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the stuff that we listen to and we're looking, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but I hope that they are, you know, we're looking at who is winning these competitions. Because would you say that like the winners of these competitions, you know, they are essentially closest to what we're looking for in that division, obviously.
Well, that's right. If they're the best person in the lineup on the day, like, and there again, Carl, a lot of people put themselves in the wrong division. Mm-hmm. And this all goes back sometimes, and I don't do names or anything like this, but a lot of the time people that are now comp prep coaches have very minimal experience, and they send people to me and say, oh, get her to decide what to go in. Well, why don't you know? You know, you're the coach. You should make a point. If you're preparing people for contest, you should be able to go along and have a look and see where your client is at. Yeah. And does she fit the criteria for any of those categories up there? Don't put it on somebody else to decide, because I don't know how they're going to look in 6 weeks' time. I don't know how they're going to look on the day.
You don't follow their journey. You know, you don't know their personal preferences. You know,
that's right. The coach should have an idea of what that client is best suited to. Not just put it on everybody else, because they're getting paid good money to all this comp prep. You should know where this person's going. If they've put their trust and faith in you to get them ready and prepare them to stand up on stage, you need to know what fitness is, what bikini is, what sports is, if you're going to put them in that lineup. Do you know what I mean? You can't just go in blind. The amount of people that come and learn posing, and I say, have you been to a show? If you say, no, then how do you know if you're going to like it? Oh, my coach said, well, this is about you. This is, and I get this all the time.
I could only imagine with this, especially how popular the female posing clinics and everything like that have been, how often this comes up.
Yes. And it's always a bit of a gray area with the girls, because they're all at different standards. I try to keep with ICN, because Tony appointed me as head posing coach, to try and keep it simple, because a lot of people are very awkward on stage, to keep it plain and have some sort of balance between the bikini and the fitness and the sports, so that the girls aren't making themselves look ridiculous, but they're showing the right things at the right time. We don't want to look, ICN doesn't want to look like a spin-off of of what IFBB does or NABBA does or WBFF. We don't want to copy that. And unfortunately, a lot of opposing coaches are now taking all these bits and pieces from other federations and putting them into us. We don't want that. Yeah. You know, there's an example that happened not so long ago here, and the Patricia Lanciano had to go and speak to a coach to tell the girl to not pose the way that she was. It was, you know, we all thought we were at the men's gallery or something. So, you know, things like, I don't know how to put it nicely, you know, and I'm like, I'm straight to the point.
I love that.
I was looking there, I'm thinking, here we go, here's King Street right in front of us. I found it, as a female, I treat females with respect. I think all women that train with weights that compete should be treated with respect. They're not put up there as sex objects just for guys to stare at. You know, we are actually judging a criteria here.
Yeah.
But if they're allowed to do provocative things with their legs apart and bending over, sticking their ass out, I don't want to see that.
It's not what we're there for.
It's not with you. It just cheapens the sport. The Lancianos love to make it that it's a family thing, that there's young kids there. Do you want your four-year-old coming up and seeing your Auntie Blanche up there with a twat in your face? Like, it's just something that's just not, you know, it's just not done. I know, I'm old. I'm seeing it more and more. I'm not a prude, but there's a time and a place for everything.
No, and, I completely agree.
And sometimes we've got to pull it in. But the sad thing is that that particular person had the best body on the stage. That person had to win.
Annoying.
And that was the hard part. But hopefully that has been rectified for the next time that she represents ICN, because it was above and beyond tack. It was just like, whoa, this is too much.
And I like that. And I like that she said that, to be honest. You know, the fact that, you know, the posing necessarily wasn't what, you know, ICN themselves were looking for. But she had the physique that ICM was looking for, and therefore it was a win. And I think that's good. You know, I'm glad that that's on here, and, you know, and people can really help understand. I think that will help people understand a little bit, you know, what we're really looking for, and that, you know, it's specific criteria, and it's something that's, you know, it's a blueprint. You know, we're looking for something, and then we're comparing this criteria to the people on stage, regardless. You know, even if someone doesn't have the best posing, if you have the best body,
it shows off.
But I think what people get mixed up in is that sometimes your posing can be so bad that it really hides how good your body is.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and you would notice that too. But yeah, it is got to be first and foremost about the complete body, the complete package that's out there.
Yeah.
It's about the body. It's not about the posing or who you learn from and all that. But this always comes back. This person didn't go here or there, and like, seriously, it's about the body at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people have got to understand. It's not about who you go to or learn from or whatever. It's the body at the end. If you've got the best body up there in the lineup, you win.
Yeah. And I think it's good, because we definitely went like way, way off topic there. But, you know, we spoke a little bit about open bodybuilding and classic physique and the difference. For those people who don't really know where they should go, and, you know, let's say there's someone who's thinking about competing and they're looking at the divisions and they're still not sure themselves, you know, and for the coaches that apparently don't know where to put their ladies. Give us a little rundown now of the bikini, the figure, the fitness, the sports model. Don't have to go into too much detail, but sort of like just a quick dot point on like each one. What are we looking for in each category?
Okay, so let's start at figure. Mm-hmm. So figure is always feminine with curves and muscle. That's how I'd say figure. So figure, you've got to have that feminine shape. You've still got to have those full muscle bellies when you flex, when you do biceps, when you do tricep. We need to see detail, definition, not too much of the striation, but you need to have separation through your quads. You need to have a good tone through your glutes and your hamstring. Mm-hmm. When you do the side ones, you need to have a nice detailed back. And once again, you need to have that symmetry, that X factor. Mm-hmm. You need to have the broader shoulders coming into a toe. You don't necessarily have to have a massive curve through your glutes, but it's nice to have toned glutes, which is hard to get as a natural athlete, because all women carry it around their hips and butts, because that's the way God made us. They designed females to have children, and they're putting a lot of pad in there, and it's really hard to go. So you can't cut it off unless you've got someone that's that's been a gymnast or something like that, that's used their glutes from early in their life, building that muscle and getting rid of the fat is going to be a long process. Agreed. So that's what figure is. So figure, you get to do two rounds. You've got your quarter turns and then you've got your compulsory poses. Yep. So there's five, the same as the men, front and rear bicep, a chest, a tricep, and then you've got your abdominal and thigh pose.
Yep.
So that's it. So there's no routines anymore. So that's what figure is. So a lot more of the girls now are starting to do figure, but they're just not getting their condition right. They're too soft.
Too soft.
Yeah,
okay, so that's what you're finding at the moment.
Yeah, they need to get, and there again, I think it was at Bendigo, we had a girl that had beautiful shape and proportion, was too soft, had the muscle, and then we had another competitor that was so lean that she'd really jeopardized her upper body to try and get her, because I spoke to her afterwards, to get detail through her legs. She looked like a greyhound. She was just too lean.
Okay.
You can't reward that because that's not what we're looking for. So then
very there tough again, for the ladies.
That's right. There again, we have to go
as a male in opens, you know, you can get as dry as you want. It's not a bad thing.
But women lose muscle. Guys don't. They may drop a slight percentage, but not to the degree of getting so lean that there's nothing left. You do bicep and all you've got are lines and like it's skinny and scrawny.
Yeah,
that's not an aesthetic look for anybody to really want to look like. So that's in figure. You still need to see the separation. You still need to see the peak in the bicep, etc., when you flex. So, you know, we've got some great natural girls, as in like Leanne Spokes and Ekaterina, that are Victorians. I mean, I know there's other girls as well that have got that beautiful shape and proportion. Mm-hmm. So they're figure girls. So more muscle than what you would need for fitness. So then when we go down to fitness, fitness is bordering on, say, figure. Okay. Still got to have muscularity through the legs. You need to have some shape. It's an athletic look. This girl looks like she's been a runner, or she's played volleyball, or she's been a sprinter. She's got good quads, some good separation through the glute and hamstring without it being too striated. So it's not really hard.
Just so we're on the same page there. So fitness is the, we don't wear bikinis in that one at all, do we?
Yes, fitness, you do wear bikinis. Sports, you wear the sportswear. Okay.
Yep.
So there's fitness in ICN, we're talking about now, is where we like them to have like a six pack.
Yeah.
We like them to have a six pack in fitness. So if we get a girl that's got muscular body, shoulders, everywhere else, but doesn't have a six pack, but overall has more muscle than her other people on the lineup, she will probably win even if she doesn't have a six pack, because all over she's got the fittest looking body of all, the body fat levels. But some people, because having a six pack is genetics, some people get it, some people don't.
Yep.
You can't mark that down. But if the overall look is balanced, again, she's got everything there, you know, everything there except just lines down the abs, not an actual defined six pack, but the other, her competitors next to her are all too soft, you've got to win. Because it's the overall look. It's the overall look of that. And a lot of the time, the girls that win fitness may win sports, but not necessarily. So sportswear, it used to be that you had fitness in two rounds. It used to be fitness in the bikini, and then you had the second round where you wore the sportswear. Well, ICN have split it up now so that it's separate. So some people's bodies look better in bikini and heels, and the other girls look better in the sportswear and runners.
I see that a lot.
So, yeah, some of them look, and some of them are nervous to walk in heels, so they might start off and do sports first just to get a taste of it. Did they like the competition? Was it a great experience? How did they feel being out in front of everyone's looking at their bodies? So a lot of people will do that, and then when they like that, then they may jump across to fitness. So if I was judging sports at a relatively high level, I would go for someone in the sports lineup that had a little bit more muscle, that was a little bit, not maybe as lean as the fitness girl, but still is enough leanness there to show detail and separation through shoulders, glutes, legs, all that sort of thing.
Okay.
So, and they cannot have a six pack. They don't necessarily need a six pack.
Yeah, okay.
No, but lots of times the same girl that wins fitness can win sports if that's the best person in the lineup up there, that because that's all we've got to choose from.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? So that's where, again, it would go. If she's the best body, she has to win.
Yep. I completely agree with that. And you know, they are, like you said, they are quite, they're similar in what you're looking for, you know, with just different attire. And, you know, some people, you know, I've even seen people who do really well in opens and classic.
Yes.
You know, do well in both because they know how to change their posing and change their physique for the particular division.
Yes. Well, for the all female show this year, Tony is bringing back the Ms. Physique, what we call it. And that's for the girls that are a little bit thicker through the muscles, through the thighs, through the shoulders. Maybe they've been, you know, hockey players or something in their early days and they've built quite a physique underneath of muscle, but they still need to get the fat off.
I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, well, we did have it a couple of years ago, but people got the wrong idea. Oh, it's just, you know, if the diet didn't work, okay, I'll just go on anyway. I'll go in physique because they want them bigger. But that's what I mean. They don't learn about the criteria properly.
Yeah.
We still need to be, you just can't get up there being fat. We, you know, you've got to look like you've actually been to the gym and trained. It's not, you know, the category for fat people. It's people that have got muscle, but we still need to see it. We still need to see abs because we do an ab pose.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can't show that and you still do poses, you do flexing, you do a chest pose, you do a, and it's a slightly different thing, but it's a fun category. It's done in shorts, crop top and runners. It's perfect for those girls.
Yeah.
To do, but they get the wrong idea and think that they can just go in without dieting. You can't. It's not a category for off season. It's a category of people that have got that shape genetically that they are bigger.
Yeah.
They've got more, you know, more muscle than the average girl because some a lot of the girls are a lot finer in structure. If they, these girls are a little bit heavier in structure, heavier boned, heavier muscled because they've been sports people.
Yeah, of course. So
that's what that's about. It's still about shaping that and getting the fat off. You've still got a diet. You still have to do the diet.
Always, always. But I can't believe anyone. I can't believe anyone stepping up on stage thinking that they don't have to.
They don't. Oh, it's a shortcut. You know, oh, it didn't work. I'll jump up here and just get a trophy for turning up. You know, that's the mentality. It's the, you get the trophy hunters. That's all they want is a trophy. You know, and if you don't do well there, then they'll go over to here. And if you don't do well over here, then they go over there. That's all it is until they finally get one. They get up in a federation or they get up in a lineup that's really poor. There's only two in it and then they win the Abbey. Then you never see them again. Bye-bye.
Yeah, look, each to their own with all of that. And then lastly, what about bikini?
Bikini. Now, bikini, there again, it's shape. Not massively broad shoulders. You've got to have that tiny waist and curve through the glutes, right? Not fat curve, like an hourglass figure. If you think of like an hourglass figure, like if you like Mae West, maybe not that like that, but if you've got that shape, the problem with some of the girls that come up in bikini is they go to someone and they go, oh, you've got such broad shoulders, and they make them flare their lats out. We don't want massively flared lats and shoulders in bikini. Don't. You've got to bring it back in. It's not what we're looking for. And then they wonder why they don't place. Yeah. They don't have muscle, but just their shoulders are very broad. You need to balance the shoulder width to the hip width. It's not about overemphasizing massive width and bringing and then coming into a taper. It's not. It's shoulder width versus hip width from the back matches. That's what it is. So they get it wrong. They think that just because they've got broad shoulders, they're going to do well. You're not. That's not what we're looking for. Excuse me, Carl. That's not what we're looking for in bikini. It's a softer, feminine shape, still with tone through the shoulders, tone through the legs. You've got to look like you've been to the gym. You can't turn around and walk and everything shakes, you know. That's, yes, you're going to get a bit of jiggle because you're a female, you know, but they've all got this thing about don't jiggle. It's a norm. If you're a natural female, you're going to have it because you haven't taken stuff to nullify that and get rid of it all, you know. So they're going to be soft. So if you walk heavy and plonk your feet up and down like a draft horse and lift your foot up and try and walk, you know, like they do on the runways, everything's going to shake and jiggle. Don't make it worse. because that's what we see from the front. So we can only judge what we see and what you show us. So if you walk along and you're plonking along there and everything's moving, well, instantly we're going to think, oh, I didn't do much, you know, work on the lower half. Need to tone that up a bit. But if you learn to walk correctly and not plonk yourself down and draw attention to it, then we're not going to notice it, are we? We can only judge on what we can see. And this is the mistake that they all make. Proportion in the shoulders, smaller through the waist. Don't have to have a six pack. You can have lines and a bit of tone. But if you start to get 1, 2, 3, 4 six pack there, you're too hard. You might have the, and this is where it's hard for the girls. They have a six pack, but they're too soft everywhere else to do fitness. So they're in between. It's sad. Can't do, haven't got a magic wand here. Can't help you, you know. It's just what you've got to just get up there and be happy with. That was the best you could do for your shape and what you have. Some people have got six pack and they don't even have to diet, but then they've got nothing else. Some people, like I said before, have got everything else and they don't have the six pack and they'll never get it. It's a genetic thing. And, you know, you can't beat yourself up about it. You've got to, if you work within what you have and then you get up there and you go, well, okay, where do I fit in here? Please, sir, judge my body. What do you think? Yep, this is what we think here. Da-da-da-da. Oh, I'm not happy with that. I'm going to work harder. That's what you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not blame your coach, blame the diet. Oh, I got sick. I got that. You know, the dog ate my shoe. All this sort of nonsense that, you know, it's always the judge's fault. It's always our fault. You know, I don't see many people, not many people want to judge because you sit there for 12 hours looking at bodies. Not many people want to do that. I'm lucky. I love it. I don't get tired. I don't get bored. I can do it forever because that's my thing. I love doing it because I'm always learning. Every show is a learning thing for me. Every client that comes in is a learning thing for me.
I love that.
You learn from people. You learn, you take it on board. What do you do? What do you work at? Okay, that's why we have an imbalance. You're a bricklayer. You're using your right arm most of the time. So it helps you understand why people's posture has developed a certain way over their lives.
Yeah. And that's
a fabulous industry.
Especially when you're able to, you know, do something like that that you love, and you can watch these people just constantly, you know, come up, and you're just seeing people from all walks of life. And I think that's one of the beautiful things of bodybuilding is that, you know, you can always get better. Always.
Never, ever. And that's with everything, Carl. Mm-hmm. And you can keep doing this, you know, for many years. You can start late and keep going. It's not something that you're going to have to retire when you're 40. You're probably just starting to peak when you're 40.
That's my plan.
that's what I mean. You know, I mean, I was 43 when I did my first competition.
Right.
So I didn't do it as a young person because that wasn't what about. I thought, okay, this is something else I need to learn. I like the actual commitment that you have to have to do this and the discipline. So discipline is a thing with me, and I'm very pedantic about if you're going to do something, do it properly. You know, don't copy off other people. Do it what works for you. This is your journey. Make it yours. Don't copy just because this person's eating this. But it doesn't mean it's just going to work for you.
And not only that, I mean, we got to practice, Vicky.
That's the key word.
You know what? Like, you know, I see this way, like people just don't practice their posing enough. No. Myself included, especially through the second show. First show, I was a lot more on with it. But it's very easy to not think about it and not do it. And I think like you can go to all the posing coaches and you can have, you know, a million people look at you and get all the critique and, you know, thinking, but if you're not, you know, actually taking a video of yourself and going through each and every pose and doing it again and again and again and again, you're not finding anything out. You're not learning anything new about your body.
No, and it's not just going through the motions. You have to learn to hold it. You have to hold the poses.
Hardest part.
Because when you're standing up on stage, you've got a lineup of, say, 10 other guys, and that they call, okay, front double bicep and strike. So they hold the bicep. Now, that panel of judges has got to look along every competitor. Mm-hmm. And back again to see who they like in that pose. Now, if you haven't practiced holding it, you're going to be the one huffing and puffing and sweating and shaking. And that tells me straight away, this person hasn't done anything with his posing at all, hasn't practiced. It's like you're almost doing an isometric contraction when you're doing posing. It's one muscle group against the other. If you can't hold it, you're gone. And then all your tan runs down the center of you. So it's not just about going through them in the order that you do them and oh, yeah, I've practiced my posing. That's not practicing your posing, doofus. You've got to hold it. You've got to hold the poses. You know, we had that happen at the recent show. I can only refer to that show because we only had one last year. So, you know, the guys we had to try and judge, they were sweating and shaking and looking at me and I'm saying, yes, it's hard. Mm. You didn't hold it for long enough. You have to hold it.
When practicing, give people a little idea. When you're going through your mandatories, how long should you sort of hold for? If you were going just through like a normal practice, say like
you'd probably hold it for like you'd start off and you'd go through it and then you'd go through and you'd hold it for say 10 seconds.
Yep.
Then you'd hold it for 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Then you'd hold it for 30 seconds. And you've got to develop what's called pose fitness.
Yep.
If you don't condition your body to hold that, then you're just going to collapse and you'll be huffing and puffing. It's not about holding your breath.
And especially
you've got to know.
It's so easy to lose the stomach tension as well, you know, like
that's right. If you don't practice it.
Doesn't look good.
No. If you don't practice it, and a lot of the guys have got this thing that they need to breathe out with the abs the whole time. Well, that just makes their whole body collapse as far as shape goes because the lats come in, the shoulders come down. If you're doing a category that's got an ab pose in it, we will see them. We don't need to see them in every other single pose that you're doing. There's that's things good. That we do, abdominal pose, show us the abs. If that's we want to see front double bicep, I'm not judging people's abs, but these guys think that they need to flex their abs in the front double bicep pose. Mm. I'm looking at your biceps. That's why it's called that. At the end, you've got an ab pose. Then we'll assess it. If you've done your diet right and you've got your body fat levels to where it needs to be, and that could be anywhere because everybody's different, we'll see the abs. We're judges. We do it all the time. We know where the abs are. They're not going to be hidden under a skirt or anything. They're going to be there. But the sometimes I just think, yes, we'll see them in a minute, but you've ruined that pose because you're crunching down trying to get your abs out. It's a shame because other people tell them what to do.
Yeah.
So there's people that put their bit in, you know, and then I say to people, they go, oh, so-and-so said to do that. I say, is that person going to be judging you on the day, are they? And they go, no. And I go, well, why are you listening to them?
Because funnily enough, that is that little tip you said there is exactly what my coach was telling me to do and was making me practice when I went and saw him. So that's it's very interesting to know.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they think you need to do. But if from training people, teaching people, from sitting on that table and looking how it presents, when you're up there and the judges are a little bit lower down, you need to sit in my shoes to see what I see.
Yeah, very true.
And that's what people don't do. They just see it. Some people that teach pose, they don't even go to shows. How do you know what that person looks like? You only see them on one level. You only see them one at a time. You don't see them.
You're only seeing like Instagram photos.
That's right. And they only put good ones up there anyway. Everybody looks better in a photo.
Exactly.
People have said, what category will I go into? I said, look, send me your photo. And they send me a selfie in the bathroom. Am I meant to tell how you look like a selfie in the bathroom? Seriously, Carl, you know.
Oh, that is so great. Well, look, I am I'm very weary of your time. So before we
No, start- look, I'll go on forever, mate. If this was 3 hours, I would go on forever. I mean, I do all this off the top of my head because I know it so well and I love it so much. And I want to keep doing this for as long as I can, but I know people aren't going to listen to me rave on for 3 hours.
Honestly, I think you have given some incredible information and advice for people who are thinking about competing, you know, and actually where to actually start your mind and think about, you know, when you're thinking about divisions and which federation,
yes.
Stuff like that. You know, like all this stuff is, the reason why I wanted to get you on in the first place is because this stuff isn't talked about. You hear this, you hear some of this stuff, you know, like behind closed doors, at the back of the show,
yeah.
With maybe a coach here and there.
Yeah.
But I never really hear this stuff, you know, actually out there, you know, just available for people who are considering considering competing to actually listen to and just have that as a bit of a resource. So, yeah, I can't thank you enough for jumping on.
No, look, it's my pleasure. Look, people can ask me things anytime and I'm happy for them to message. I say to them, if you want to know anything about this, this and this, message me. If you want to know anything about admin, message Tony. But anything to do with competing, I can assess people and say, okay, you're best going to be suited for this category here. I do that in the time, but no one bothers to ask. I'm not one of these people that is out there every 5 minutes on Instagram. Yeah. However, we do have an ICN posing and information workshop running tomorrow, which tomorrow is the 17th of January. Hopefully this gets out before then.
This will be up in a few hours.
If I don't shut up talking, we'll never get there. It's at Busy Bodies Gym, 29 Erica Avenue, Boronia.
Yep.
We're starting at 1 p.m. We're having the Bikini Girls Fitness and Sports. I'm also running through the other categories, which is Runway and Angels. We'll be explaining rotation. Cam's going to do something with Bikini Pro Mel Bennett as far as rotating goes. He's also going to go through any exercise technique that people want. We're going to go through all the posing, the best shoes to get. We're having 67 bikinis will be there. Girls can order them. We're having, we've got a tanning thing there with a prize. You can win a free comp tan from LSR. We have Sarah Linden has very kindly got six nutritional packs from Nutrition Warehouse that we're offering as prizes. $100 voucher from 67 Bikinis. The host gym is giving away a windcheater and singlet and towel and that. So everyone gets a raffle ticket when they come in. The guys are on at 2:30. And so I have got just on 10 ICN pro athletes are turning up. Wow. Tim Martin will be there. We've got Ben Haitong, Tony and Patricia will be there, as well as the recently crowned Sarah Linden, of course, and Bridget, Mel, Gabriella, and we've got Lauren White. So we've got quite a few of the girls there.
What a lineup.
Yeah, it's a great lineup, and these girls are all lovely to chat to. So any of the participants are going to be able to talk to them there. So, and the use of a great gym and, you know, anything they need to know, we've got posters, anything they need to know, this is the place to come. You're not getting your information secondhand, you're getting it straight from the horse's mouth. Mm. And that's what you need to, because there's too much wrong information out there. And I've seen it myself, and it's confusing everybody because people just follow social media so much. Yeah. Come and learn from the people that know, that are running the shows, that are actually judging the shows.
Put in the years of hard work as well.
Exactly.
So, like, you know, they've seen it and done it and done it wrong and then done it right and, you know, found little bits and pieces. You know, I always think it's important.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I've covered everything then.
That's awesome. So before we finish off, you did actually get just a couple of Q&A questions that I would love to go through with you.
Sure.
Let me get them up for you. So someone who is competing most likely in bikini in this season B, she asked, what's the best bikini to get? Is it usually better to go like colorful, like a full glam one, or one that's sort of like just sort of in the middle there?
Okay, if we're doing ICN, we're having bikinis that possibly the best place to go to would be 67 bikinis.
Okay.
All right, because the lady that makes them has been doing them for a long time and she knows our standard, what we have. Mm. Some of them are way too over the top. The color that you choose, in my eyes as a judge, it needs to be vibrant. If it's pale and wishy-washy, those stage lights are very, very strong and it drains. I've seen pastel pinks look white. I've seen pale yellows look cream. It drains the color. That's why you have the tan as well, because it drains color off your body. It drains color off your costume. So a bright color is best. Get it fitted. I would never tell anyone to go and just order online without a fitting, because your body changes over a period of time. The cut that one person has isn't going to work for what you have.
Mm.
If you've got a long torso and short legs, you need a different cut. If your bikini's cut too low, you can look like you've got short legs. If you've got a short torso and long leg, go to someone that knows how to do it. Everybody will say, oh, yeah, just order online. If you've got a standard body, that's great. Most people haven't. But yeah, the brighter the colour, the better. It stands out better. But at the end of the day, it's about the body in the bikini.
Of course.
Not the bikini. Because as judges, nothing, I couldn't care if you bought your bikini at Kmart. If you've got the best body, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Absolutely. It's as plain as that. It is us, but it's a good excuse for the girls, don't get me wrong, to glam up. It's a glam up thing.
Incredible.
It's beautiful. You know, they love all the sparkle and that, and that's why they have the Angels. The Angels is going to be first on at the all-female show this year. We haven't had it for a while.
Awesome.
Miss Runway is good for the girls that, you know, in off-season just to get the practice of being on stage wearing the dress, you know. So at ICN, we do offer quite a few categories for the ladies to glam up and go to. It's a very, very good federation. That's why, and being natural, that's why I choose to stay with them.
That's incredible. Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Chloe. And we've also got Damien here. He says, is posing overly valued in the sport? Should the focus be on muscle and conditioning? Which I think we have spoken plenty about.
Yeah, we spoke about that. Of course, it's muscle and conditioning. But if you pose badly, the way I look at it, if you come into a competition and, yeah, you've got the muscle and conditioning and you manage to scrape by with average posing, the usual what happens to the guys are, I won anyway. I don't need posing lessons. So then they all go and represent us at a national level and they get wiped off the stage because they can't pose, because they think just because they won one, show.
Off sheer genetics.
Yeah, and they pose very average, that they don't need help. But I would say to that person, get it as good as you can get it. People, a lot of those pro guys, they practice all the time.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I'm gonna chime in there as well, because like I think something to do with, I think just bodybuilding in general, you know, you're trying to be the best at everything. You're trying to be the biggest muscles. You are trying to have the hardest body and the least amount of body fat.
That's right.
Why wouldn't you want to be having the best showcase of physique as well? You know,
that's like, right.
I think it's important that, especially once the bodies start to become more standardized, because the higher you go up in the pros, the more the bodies start to look very,
that's
very
right. That's when it's hard.
And then that's when you're going to see just exactly what can be done with posing.
And if you get into bad habits, like the people that come to me that have had other coaches are really hard to teach because they've been conditioned just to tense everything. Whereas I'm telling no tensing and they look at me like I'm nuts. I said, no tensing. You just got to stay relaxed. Allow me to put you in the shape, know where this is going. But the ones that have come to me and they've had no, they're completely raw, easiest ones because they've got no friggin' idea what they're doing. I'm sure I've sworn in. They have no idea. So I can tell, say, do this, and they do it and they go, oh my God, is it that easy? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's easy when you know how.
Something that I really struggled with, in both shows, if I'm going to be completely honest, the tensing should come from how lean you are. The muscle lines and everything else and the conditioning has to come from how lean you are, not from you overly flexing.
That's right, Carl. Yes, because exactly.
When you overly flex, you're right. Like you start to really cave in, your body shortens, your body goes, looks all tight.
Yep.
And you think, and it's very hard because, you know, it looks good in the gym, right? Like when you're flexing and you're tensing, you know, it looks amazing when you're just working out and you've got a really good pump
and you're by yourself
gliding and you're right. And you're just looking in the mirror where you're not even seeing the bottom.
Starting to break up a bit.
Oh, am I? Yep. Am I there?
Yeah. Your internet connection is unstable. Okay.
Well, that is just a perfect time to start wrapping this up. So for anyone who would love to work with you specifically as a one-on-one in Melbourne, how can people reach you? And where
they can reach me via Facebook. I'm just Vicky Arif. I'm just a normal person. There's no other things. Instagram, Messenger, email. But email, I forget to answer them half the time. There's too many ways to contact people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really answer my phone a lot because I also teach classes like aerobics and ballet and stuff. I do that. So I don't really answer phone calls because I have a very full sort of agenda. But texting or messaging, I will always get back to you. always. So they're the best ways. I'm on Instagram.
Yep.
I'm pretty easy to contact, really.
Fantastic. I'll be putting through on the socials how people can contact you.
Oh, fantastic. Awesome. Thank you, Carl.
No worries. And for the last piece of advice for anyone, what is one tip that you can give them to have the best stage presence on the day? What is the number one thing?
Practice.
Beautiful. Practice. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, practice. That's all it is. Do it again.
And what?
How did you get the body? Lots of reps. How do you get the best? Practice. Yeah. Over and over and over and over again.
And go to some shows.
I would say that to everybody. If you're looking at competing, go and have a look first. But go and have a look at the show that you want to compete in. Don't go and look at something that's way out of your league.
Mm.
Go in something. If you're a natural athlete, go and look at a natural show or a tested show, I should say.
Yeah.
But if you go with the expectations of something else, then you may be, pushing yourself a little bit too hard to start off with. Go to a natural show, tested show. There's a few around. You've got ICN, I'm affiliated with. A&B is another one that's a tested show as well. So, there's those two federations. They would be the only ones that I would probably even consider.
Yep.
I don't think there's much else around now anyway. ICN have been there the longest.
Yep.
They do test. There's testers at every single show. You may not see them. They're not people wandering around in white coats with clipboards, but mm-hmm. they get tested.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen it done. My cousin got tested when he won the Rookie of the Year.
There you go.
Yeah, so they're definitely around and they're very vigilant with it. And so it's really reassuring as well, and something to commend
exactly
as well. All right, Vicky, this has been absolutely incredible. I can't thank you enough for jumping on.
Oh, great, Carl. I'm glad that it's been good. I hope I've been helpful and everything. And like I said, I love what I do. And if I can help anybody get on the stage and have a great experience, I'm happy to do that. And I'm happy to answer questions if people message me as well. So that's all good.
Amazing. Well, yeah. I think you have done an awesome job at helping people understand a little bit more what goes on behind the judging panel and behind the poses.
Okay. Thanks so much, Carl.
No worries, Vicky. I will speak to you very soon.
Okay. Catch up then. Bye-bye, dear. Bye.
And that's a wrap. Thank you for listening, everybody. If you think this episode will help someone in your life to achieve their strongest and happiest self, please, please, please share this with them. It will make my day. And if you really want to help me create amazing content, please share this, tag me in all of your socials. I really, really want to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And starting with you right now, you can help me reach the world. Make sure you are eating better, training better, and living better. See you later.